You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
EDU. And welcome in, everyone, to the Gym Class for a Monday, the 11th of May, 2020. Thank you very much for joining us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here at KGYM. I guess, again, our apologies, 1600 AM, right? Still down due to maintenance. We will get that up, hopefully, coming up in just a little bit. Please be patient with us, but we are available to you on our FM signals, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. Scott Unash here in our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass once again here today. Our producer extraordinaire and Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids joining us here. We are indeed the Gym Class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. A lot to get to. We will talk about what happened over the weekend, sports news from today, news from today, news from the weekend, and our friend Mike Halas will stop by, and we will talk with the columnist of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and number one fan we learned last week of the movie Horse Feathers. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you are as well, especially the mothers who had a terrific day yesterday, hopefully, and yeah, Horse Feathers. You can't go wrong with the Marx movie, can you? Marx Brothers?
I don't think so. I think it still plays in 2020. Kids don't know what who the Marx Brothers are, but please give it a Google.
Look it up. They're always funny.
They are very good. Very good.
Interestingly, though, among all the staffers that are putting together their top 15 sports movies, Mike has been the only one to mention Horse Feathers.
True. Very true.
Now, does that move the needle in Mike's direction to, intellectualism or whatever? I don't know. We'll ask him.
We will. One of the pertinent questions we will talk about with Mike Halas of the Gazette coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. Our KGYM text line, that is our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. And unfortunately, we talk about funny people. And unfortunately, we have to start the show today with a nod and an ode to one of the funniest out there, and that, of course, is the comedian Jerry Stiller, who passed away either late last night or early this morning at the age of 92. Of course, I guess remembered by a lot of folks in their 20s, 30s, maybe 40s, what have you. As Frank Costanza on Seinfeld, George Costanza's rancorous father, played that part to a T, and that's what he's going to be remembered for quite a bit. But you and I, Mark, we go back to the old comedy duo of Stiller and Mira. Back in the day, of course, Jerry Stiller was married to Ann Mira. And a funnier husband and wife duo, I don't think you would ever find.
No, they were on Carson quite a bit and other programs. And, they really came from two different sides of the track, so to speak, but forged a terrific combination. And, I remember Jerry on Seinfeld, but me being a TV Land fan, I watch him almost every night on King of Queens.
Yes.
As the father who lives in the basement and, thinks he's a player, this, that, and the other thing. And he's really good in that role as well. But he's really a comedic genius, as Jerry Seinfeld tweeted today.
I would love it if we could play about 10 minutes worth of Jerry Stiller quips from Seinfeld, from King of Queens, and just from other things today. Lawsuits prevent us from doing that, so we will not. But if you have a moment today, check out some of his older stuff with his wife, Ann Mira. And of course, their son now, Ben Stiller, of course, a terrific actor and very famous as far as Hollywood is concerned, and just a very famous family out there. And Jerry Stiller will definitely be missed as he passes away at the age of 92. Do yourself a favor, go out. The funniest stuff he may have done were the outtakes from Seinfeld. There are some absolutely rib ticklers out there as far as those are concerned. He had trouble saying Del Boca Vista. That's the best one. He couldn't say Del Boca Vista when he was in one of those. Buttons is going, yeah. I've seen that. Some some side-splitting stuff right there.
Yeah, it's some funny stuff, especially in Seinfeld. Like I said, King of Queens, he has some terrific spots there. And yeah, it's one of those things, you know, that you've probably seen an episode a dozen times, but you see something different each time. And really funny guy. 92 years old, a life well lived.
Yes, and certainly... living legend among comedians out there. Hats off to Jerry Stiller, who passes away. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in on Jerry Stiller out there, some of the best stuff that he was in. His days with Ann Mira, of course, building that foundation as far as comedy is concerned, and other things. Remembrances of Jerry Stiller, and of course, leading up to King and Queens, followed by Seinfeld. Right in that same area, or may have been Seinfeld, followed by... No, it was Seinfeld first and then King of Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he did a very fine job, as you mentioned, as Lee Remini's father, who lived in the basement and was a constant thorn in the side of Kevin James. And I'm with you. I do... if there's one thing that has come back, maybe... as far as the fight against the coronavirus is concerned, is that maybe since there haven't been live sports, that we've kind of revisited some of these old shows that have been taking place. King of Queens is certainly one that I have enjoyed on some of these outlier channels, if you will.
Well, it's one of my favorites. Andy Griffith is on right now, if you don't mind me taking a break.
Is Otis on this one? Otis and Ernest T. Bass.
Just came down from the mountains.
Oh, no. You know, there are hijinks when the Darlings come down from the mountains. There's going to be hijinks. We know that.
And music.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. Plenty more to talk about. We get to sports subjects here. And, of course, we start off with UFC took place over the weekend. I've mentioned before many times I'm not a big UFC fan, so I didn't pay a great deal of attention, but it did take place. And mixed reviews, I think, as far as how everything went, depending on what side you are. As far as the coronavirus is concerned and fighting it and what have you. So that took place over the weekend. NASCAR will be back next weekend in front of no fans at Darlington, but they will race. And also talk over the weekend, Mark, about, again, the return of baseball. This is what, plan number H or letter H or whatever, J, K, wherever they are right now. But another plan that seems to be picking up a little bit of steam.
Yeah, just out today, the baseball owners have approved their plan anyway for a return to baseball. It apparently involves about an 80-game regular season, expansion of rosters to maybe 30, teams having taxi squads, maybe even the National League using the designated hitter for at least one season. And this is going to be put before the players' union. They're going to hash it over tomorrow, and I think revenue sharing has always been a big point of contention between the two groups, and I think that might also be a point of contention in this go around. But we will see tomorrow, and I think we're going to talk a lot about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about baseball coming up tomorrow. We're going to effort a specific guest to talk about that. And even if we don't, we're just going to talk some baseball coming up tomorrow because, you know, it's getting to the point where if you are looking at a 4th of July start, plans have got to be put in place as far as a second spring training for 2020 is concerned. Because as we talked about with friend of the show, Cal Eldred, who is the pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals, he said it's going to take 4 weeks for everybody to get ready, pitchers to get ready especially. Maybe not so much as far as position players are concerned, but definitely as far as pitchers are concerned, it's going to take a good 4 weeks before everybody is ready to go. So you're talking May the 11th right now, and you're probably thinking 3 weeks from now you got to be getting ready to go. And you know, wherever you're going to be going, Arizona or Florida, I would imagine, to get spring training centers back up and ready to go and have players down there with all of the new rules and regulations that they're going to have to go through.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting story to follow, I really think, because it's not going to be baseball as we know it. Certainly not a full schedule, that's quite obvious, but how it's all going to be put together, whether you have the divisions in Arizona and Florida, whether there be any games whatsoever in stadiums, fans, again, roster sizes, right on down the line, it's going to look different, but I think baseball fans really have a huge appetite for the game returning, especially after, you know, seeing a bit of the Korean baseball organization and its games being played right now. So it's again, we're going to talk a lot about it tomorrow.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. By the way, if you go to CBSSports.com, a very, very interesting piece that is done by David Sampson. David Sampson, who's been in baseball for 20 years, including a stint with the Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins, what have you. And he has put together a very interesting piece that he goes over some of the rule changes that he thinks are going to be out there. You mentioned the DH, Mark. It seems to be if we get baseball back this year, and I'm not sure what side of the argument our listeners are on. It just depends on your individual point of view. If you're a DH guy, if you were a non-DH guy, if you like it the way it is now with one league playing with a different set of rules than the other league. But he also goes through 23 different rule changes that he believes are going to have to be implemented for baseball to come back, which includes basically the international rule as far as extra innings are concerned. And he's talking about no pitching changes. Pitching changes would be made by the manager from the dugout and going right down to basically how things are going to go as far as a game day situation are concerned, as far as nobody in the clubhouse, media, what have you. You know, no broadcasters in the park, no fans. He is taking it one step further, saying he does not believe there will be fans, period, at any time in 2020 as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. And if you are taken out of the game, you must go into the clubhouse, leave the ballpark, things like that. I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but just some of the things that David Sampson, who's been with the Marlins for 20 years prior to this, have said.
Well, it's an interesting read at a minimum. I don't know if all those things will come to pass.
I think some are extreme, pretty extreme.
You know, it's certainly going to be different. And as we anticipate any decision on high school baseball and softball, I think that's going to look different as well if the seasons are played in an abbreviated form. It's just quite obvious that will take place. So, again, it's going to be an interesting story to follow and how all the pieces fit together.
Yes, 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. As far as your thoughts about baseball today, and as I mentioned, we'll talk a lot more about baseball coming up on the Tuesday edition of the program. We know that the Major League Baseball draft is going to go five rounds, and that is going to be it for 2020. We do know that. That decision was made over the weekend, so we'll see how that all plays out. Sports are going to be much different in 2020. We know that. And it really doesn't matter what sport you're talking about, even football. We haven't even got to the football season yet, but the American Hockey League, as Buttons told me earlier today, has officially canceled their season. He is very, very remorseful about that. Big AHL fan is Buttons. Bet you did not know that, Mark.
I didn't know one AHL fan, except for probably
Jeff Johnson.
Jeff Johnson, Mark Morehouse, people like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No AHL.
Maybe even our friend Alex Kuhn. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Could be. But they will not be resuming their 2019-2020 season out there. That has been postponed as far as the year is concerned. 319-366-1600, as we mentioned, and we got more news in the sports world, and this with a local twist to it a little bit. We're going to have golf about a month from now. Fort Worth has come out and said that they are getting ready and preparing for the return of the PGA Tour. Sands, the gallery, of course, at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. That'll be the first event back as far as professional golf is concerned in about a month. The Ryder Cup is going to be coming up later on. It is still scheduled for September, Mark, up in the great state of Wisconsin, who was pretty much shut down, the state of Wisconsin right now, from pillar to post. But they're hoping to be up and ready to go in September because the world will be coming in, and that includes one of our own will be there.
Yes, Zach Johnson has been selected as one of the three vice captains for the American team, along with Jim Furyk and Davis Love III. This is the third appointment of Zach Johnson to either a President's Cup or Ryder Cup team. And, of course, he's played in, I believe, five Ryder Cups and four President's Cups. And As we talked earlier, and I know you agree with this, it just is moving the needle ever so close to Zach Johnson being a captain of either a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup team. Knowing Zach, I know he'd love to be a playing member again. He's not there at this point. You know, he may be, may turn up the temperature in his game when it does return, but Zach, very highly thought of, a very good communicator, has great relationships with players, much the same as Furyk and Davis Love and Steve Stricker and those types of guys. But again, I just think this is one more building block towards Zach being a captain for an American team very soon.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you. If I could go 110%, Mark, I would go 110% on that. Zach Johnson is going to be a captain, whether it be a Ryder Cup team or a President's Cup team. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and it's going to be very, very soon. And you would think, well, there's not a whole lot of, it's more of a ceremonial appointment, if you will, but that is not the case. Those vice captains, they do a ton of preparation work, and they do a lot of the legwork out as far as the actual competition is concerned, following people, talking with people, etc. So this is a great, great honor for Zach to represent the United States.
Well, it is indeed. And one more piece of news on Zach Johnson today. He has the Zach Johnson Foundation Tournament, which has already been modified, that coming up July 27th without fans, vendors, whatnot. They will still play in the various foursomes will, go ahead and purchase a pro to play with, but that's about it. The news today is the gala, which typically is held the night before the tournament will be an online event coming up on June 6th. You'll be able to go to a Facebook page and follow, maybe even participate. My bank account won't allow
some of the big ones.
some of the high-end purchases that are out there. But I want to continue to raise money for Kids on Course, which has benefited kids so much in this community, various schools. I think actually the first class of kids that Zach supported were supposed to graduate this year. Perhaps it was last year or next year, but I think it's about that time that
right.
The first class of kids are actually going to graduate from high school. So, again, hopefully a lot of folks participate on the online version and continue to raise money for a most worthy event.
I know they will. That is the case. And you and I were talking a little bit earlier on, and I had the honor of being there on gala night for Zach 1 year. Our friend Rick Swan was a long time MC, couldn't make it 1 year. I had a chance to step in, fill in for him. And yes, it helps Zach's foundation, Zach and Kim's foundation, actually. Zach would be mad of us if we didn't mention Kim in there as well. But they raise a ton of money, and we're just kind of wondering if now it's going to be online, there might be a few of the maybe not tens of thousand dollar items that maybe people can donate or bid on, I should say. Maybe we'll see those. I'm sure there's going to be more information coming out in the next couple of weeks from the Zach Johnson Foundation. We'll try to get some information on that as well. But Zach and Kim still doing great work, even though the public will not be able, I guess, to see the golf portion of it this year, at least following some of the great sports personalities as far as athletes and whatnot are concerned at Elmcrest.
Yeah, it's again, you just hope that it can raise a significant amount of money to benefit Kids on Course, and I'm confident the folks will turn out as well for the gala and follow the tournament, even though they can't be there.
No doubt. Text line at 1960 at 325, talking about baseball. A Cub fan here, if I don't have to watch or hear about those something Redbirds, I think I can live without the season. And I would imagine that Redbird fans and Cardinal fans all over are also saying the same thing. Isn't it great that rivalries can even go above and beyond a pandemic?
No, that one will never go away.
No, that's going to be around. I think that'll be around after we are all just memories here. Certainly Cubs and the Cardinals going at it there back and forth on the text line a little bit. 3:26, we're going to take a break, come back. Mike Halas will join us, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We will talk about a variety of subjects, get the latest on Luca Garza. He talked with the former Iowa football player who beat the COVID-19, and maybe even talk about horse feathers. I know we're going to talk about horse feathers. We'll do that when we come back, and a little Zach Johnson as well. Gym class coming your way for a Monday here at KGYM. We welcome you back at 3:29 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. I would be remiss if I did not send happy anniversary wishes today. I don't know if they are listening in the Waterloo-Cedar Falls area, but oldest son Ryan and daughter-in-law Jenna celebrating their first anniversary today. So happy anniversary, guys. Appreciate it.
I echo that. That was a wonderful wedding. And, boy, you cleaned up well that day. Not as well as your wife, but...
I had a haircut then, too.
Yes, you did.
I got a call from a former classmate who cuts my hair. And I got all excited about it because I'm going... Yes, maybe she knows something I don't know. Yes, I'm going to get a haircut. No, she just called to say my appointment was going to have to be canceled. I said, don't do that unless you have good news next time.
Exactly.
I will just assume that it's canceled until I can get the haircut. But anyway, yeah, we had a great time. 1 year ago today, up in Cedar Falls on May the 11th of 2019. So happy anniversary out there to them. Back with you on the program, and we're going to bring in Michael Oss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well as we bring Mike in on this Monday afternoon. Hope you are safe and sound. Mike, how are you doing?
Well, I'm safe. I think the sound part I wouldn't even begin to try to claim, but you got me laughing when you were talking about the haircut. That's funny. I remember my hair turned prematurely gray. I mean, way back. I was way too young to have gray hair, and I caught a lot of grief about it. But I thought to myself, yeah, but I've got thick hair, and I'm going to have hair after yours is gone. And sure enough, a lot of my friends and colleagues went bald, and I kind of silently laughed at them, and now I envy them because I need a haircut too, Scott, and I don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's just going to have to be, we're going to have to go to hats, or we're just going to have to do what everybody else has done and just have some loved one cut it for us, and we just, you know, we live with it.
Well, guys, I sleep with my barber and I can't get a haircut. So I know. What does that tell you?
You know, that is such an obvious setup, but it would be a. It just means, you know, I'm in the same boat. My wife refuses to cut my hair. She says I don't need it. And it's like, I think I'm the one who gets to decide that, but apparently not.
My wife says I look better with the longer hair, so I don't know. It's just getting kind of out of control now.
Uh-oh, somebody's coming towards the back porch. My officer, never mind.
Well, hey, let's start off with the news of the day. And, you know, we've all dealt with our good friend Zach Johnson for many, many years. And great honor for him today. And as Mark put it, I know he would love to be a playing captain of the Ryder Cup, but still to be a vice captain, hopefully in September, up in Wisconsin is one whale of an honor for Zach Johnson.
Yeah, and he's been in the spot before. I would think that he would be the next President's Cup captain for the U.S., and he's certainly on that track to be a Ryder Cup captain. So, you know, that seems to be the path that every captain takes is that they, you know, they learn at the feet of other captains first and go through the whole thing. And he's been through that Ryder Cup thing time after time now. So he'll be more than qualified and ready and able to handle the captainship at some point.
Yeah, I think we're going to see him in that role sooner than later. And I think we're all three of us in agreement on that, Mike. And as the landscape looks like right now, a tournament near and dear to all of our hearts, the John Deere Classic, right now scheduled to be the first tournament with fans. Of course, that can easily change in a minute. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't, you know. What happened was the PGA Tour said that the first four tournaments wouldn't have fans. That doesn't mean that the fifth one's going to, and the Deere would be the fifth one. So it's like so many other things, and I know people get tired of hearing the answer, and I get tired of giving it or hearing it, but we don't know. You know, right now we don't know. That's going to be coming up fast. That's like the second week of July, and it's hard for me to envision fans being at anything in the second week of July, I'm afraid, but am I a person who would be reliable to forecast these things? No. No, I hope they play without fans as scheduled in June on the tour, just for one more thing on TV that's live and real. And you know what? I'm not like you, Scott. I mean, I'm not particularly much of a NASCAR fan. I have nothing against it. It just it hasn't really grabbed me in the last decade or so, but I'm quite sure I'll be watching when they start with these live races now next week.
That was going to be my next question for you, as a matter of fact. I'm a racing aficionado, maybe IndyCar and other forms a little bit more than NASCAR, but this thing, people are talking that if you're a sports fan, you're interested and you're going to tune in to this thing. It's going to be very interesting to see what the numbers are going to be for this particular race coming up on Sunday at Darlington.
Yeah, I think they'll be big. Whether they are the second and third race, you know, we'll see. But just to see, you know, human beings competing in something will be, that in itself would be something. And then the oddity of doing it in front of nobody at the facility, that also will be, you know, quite a spectacle. I remember that, you know, Iowa was supposed to play in the Big Ten tournament in front of no fans. And I thought, what a thing that would be to cover. I thought that would have been one of the most interesting things that I'd ever covered. But, of course, the plug was pulled on that hours before game time.
Mike, I know you've watched The Last Dance. Call it heresy, but I have not watched a minute of it. And I don't begrudge people that have by any means. But I do know that B.J. Armstrong had a pretty big part of in last night's episodes, and I read your piece online about being in Seoul, South Korea, and him purchasing this, that, and the other thing. And by the way, it made me want to revisit your expense account from that trip, but at any rate, BJ was an interesting character, and as you mentioned, he always looks younger than his age. But what did you see last night in The Last Dance with B.J. Armstrong?
Well, he was a focal point. The first 3 weeks, when they covered the Bulls' first three championships, Armstrong was on those teams, but he basically was just a face in the crowd in everything that they had him on screen a couple of times in interview portions, but he was just one of those guys in a Bulls uniform. And I got that because, you know, let's face it, it was Jordan, it was Pippen, it was everybody else. But last night, the story took a turn, and Armstrong had a very prominent role because they flashed ahead to 1998, which was the final season, The Last Dance, and the Bulls played Charlotte in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and in game two in Chicago, Charlotte won, and Armstrong was playing for Charlotte at that time. He was towards the very tail end of his career and played very well in the fourth quarter and hit a jumper late in the game that was more or less the dagger. And then he hits the shot and histrionics came with it. Sort of unusual from Armstrong, but he was jacked up, and they showed Jordan's reaction in the Bulls locker room, and Jordan talking about it in the locker room the next day while he's smoking a cigar and swinging a baseball bat. And you could tell that he was seething, that Armstrong had come into their house and showed them up. And then you kind of, even if you didn't know, you knew what was coming, that he was going to take it out on Armstrong and the Hornets. And he did, and the Bulls won the next three games. But it was very interesting that, Armstrong talked about it, that, he wanted to show the Bulls, more or less, that, that he learned from his time there. And I thought it was a captivating moment in the entire series so far.
Yeah. We're not learning. I mean, it's interesting. I haven't watched every second of it. I've seen some of it. It's not that we're learning anything, I think, about Michael. I think everybody knew kind of what Michael was like. Yeah. We're just learning a little bit more behind the scenes stuff, and maybe a little bit more of the periphery and everything that went on, obviously, around him.
Oh yeah, I think that's exactly right. you know, the thing is, it's been 22 years. So I don't know about you guys, but 1998 isn't completely in focus for me.
Last week, isn't it?
when they mentioned everybody remembers where they were when Jordan said, "I'm back," I thought to myself, I don't. And I know at the time it was a very big deal and it was very big news. But you know what? Maybe there was something going on in our own lives or careers that was important at that moment. I have no idea. But I also know this. There hasn't been much in pro sports that's held my attention in my life than that run that the Bulls had at that time. And to see all this footage that's not been seen before, to me, it's just endlessly fascinating. And no, I don't think I've learned much, but then again, maybe I have. But it's just seeing it, hearing it, that I really enjoy that sort of thing, the access that you just can't get. And so I'll leave it at that.
No, I think one of the most interesting aspects of Jordan's career is that he left basketball to go to baseball, and I laugh at some of the stories I read today. Yeah, he would have made the major leagues. For God's sake, he played one season in Double A, hit 202.
As a White Sox fan, ask me what I think.
Okay, but I'll play devil's advocate on that, though.
Okay.
He'd never played organized baseball beyond high school. He's 31 years old at the time. He is in Double A, which, you know, the level up from the baseball that you see here in Cedar Rapids. He drove in 50 runs. He hit safely in his first 13 games. To me, that's semi-amazing.
Yeah.
And Terry Francona, who knows a little about baseball, said last night that if he'd had 1,500 at-bats in the minor leagues, he'd have been a major leaguer. So, I don't know. I thought that was remarkable, really. How you just pick up the game like that out of nowhere and perform in Double A, pretty good.
Not bad.
Tim Tebow did it.
But you're talking about two great athletes, though, too.
Yeah, exactly. But completely different disciplines, and they talked a lot about how he had to completely change his body. From basketball to baseball and back. And I don't care, man. I've stood behind batting cages, and you guys have too. It's one thing to think that you can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Actually doing it's a whole different thing.
True.
Let alone a curveball or a slider.
Right. And the breaking balls are what befuddled him for most of that season.
As with most of us.
Right.
Including Pedro Serrano out there. Don't forget about that. Interesting talking before we leave the last dance here. Green Bay Dustin on the text line. I was born in 1990, so most of these side stories are new to me. And I think that is what is one of the big draws of this is the fact that you've got a generation now that all they hear about is who's better, LeBron or Michael? Michael or LeBron? And they never had a chance to see Michael a whole bunch.
Yeah. You guys, with me, it was, I can remember where I was for certain moments during those championship games. I remember I went to an IndyCar race in Milwaukee, something I used to do every year. And we stopped in Dubuque because the Bulls were playing the Jazz, I think, in the NBA Finals. And by gosh, I had to see it. You know, if it had been, say, the Houston Rockets and, pick a team, the Atlanta Hawks, keep driving. Let's get home.
Yes. Michael Oss joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:44 on a Monday edition here on KGYM. And we're still awaiting news about, official news anyway, from Luka Garza. About his next move as far as whether it's coming back to college to hopefully play the 2020-2021 season or if there is a team that has fallen in love with him as far as the NBA is concerned. But I got to think we're going to be hearing something break one way or the other very, very shortly.
Yeah, I don't know how any of this is going to work because, you know, there's no NBA combine scheduled. The draft, which is supposed to be next month, I don't see any, you know, I don't think that'll be like the NFL and that'll go off as scheduled. I could be wrong. But it's just, I don't know how these players coming out early for the NBA are. I think they're going to really be in kind of a bind because, I mean, there might not be NBA for a while. And I don't know how you leave school with nothing to go play for. At the same time, we don't know when college basketball is going to start up again either. So any speculation that I do or anybody else does, in my opinion, is just complete blather. And I really, I can't get a handle at all on what's going to happen in basketball. I mean, football is going to be hard enough to get started.
Yep. Yeah.
Mike, you wrote a compelling piece about a former Iowa football player who contracted COVID-19. And if folks read it, they know that's Jeff Kepel. And another reminder that nobody's really immune to this a virus. And his story alone is something. But what I took away from the story is the caring of his position coach, Dan McCarney, who called him every single day for 2.5 weeks. Take us inside those conversations that you had.
Yeah, I talked to Dan last week to ask him about it. And, I mean, Dan was a young assistant coach at Iowa, as you know, Mark. You covered him back then as well as I. And so the age difference isn't that great. McCarney's in his 60s and Jeff Kepel's 52. But here's how it goes with a lot of coaches. They're always your players. And I don't care if it's high school or college or, you know, name your level. And I think that's the way it is with McCarney. We've heard this before. I mean, when Bob Elliott was in such a bad way, McCarney was in constant communication with him and came up to see him several times and so forth. Well, he called Jeff Kepel, who, by the way, lives in North Liberty, works in North Liberty, was an Iowa defensive lineman in the late 80s and a very good one. Contracted COVID-19 and McCarney got wind of it and called him every day, trying to keep his spirits up and so forth. And, look, if people have had it, I don't even like talking about it. It makes me queasy really, but I can only imagine how hearing friendly, motivating voices would probably go a long way. And so I asked McCarney about that, and I'm going to write about that later this week. They stay your players, you know, they're just always your players. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way he looks at it.
Yeah, very much so. And one of the finer guys and not a nicer guy you're going to find, and a more caring and passionate guy than Dan McCarney, certainly. And that's always been the case since he got into coaching in football.
Yeah, it's, boy, I tell you, I don't know. First of all, I appreciate Jeff Kepel being cooperative and open about what he went through. A lot of people would have kept it private, and I wouldn't have blamed him a bit, but he was sharing. And then Dan talking about it was just like the cherry on top of the sundae.
Mike, we may have buried the lead here, but you and your colleagues have gone through this exercise of identifying your top sports movies, top 15 sports movies, and you are the only one to put Horse Feathers not only in your top 15, but number one. I can't say I disagree. Anything Mark's Brothers is funny as hell. But
that's a minority opinion.
What are your colleagues missing?
I don't know. When I was a little kid, I liked the Marx Brothers. I don't know why. I just did. I thought they were very funny and very smart. A lot of satires. You know, it was like there's a little bit of social commentary snuck in there behind the slapstick and nonsense. And that in 1932 that they were making fun of college football and basically calling it corrupt, I thought is very funny to me. And it holds up, you know. I think it does. It's just, but the sight gags are the thing. I mean, when you've got the four Marx brothers in, riding in on a football field in a horse-drawn chariot and they're riding in a garbage can, and you've got one of them throwing banana peels at the defenders chasing him. You know, that's high art.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's lost upon the common folk, I guess. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
But he talks about, you know, early on, it's like, you know, he wanted to get a football team. He goes, we can't afford to have a great university and a great football team, so we got to close down the school. One of the professors says, well, where will the students sleep? And Groucho says, where they always sleep, in the classroom.
As only Groucho could say. Oh, and thank you not only for Horse Feathers, but also for incorporating one of my favorites, and that is Tin Cup. I can't get enough Tin Cup.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm not a fan, by and large, of sports movies. We all were asked to do this. You know, okay. But to me, most of them don't ring very true. And to me, sports sort of are movies in themselves anyway, or certainly plays with the drama and the unpredictability and the seriousness sometimes and the wackiness at other times. And so it's like it's pretty hard for movies to improve on them. But when you really sit down and think about it, yeah, there's been some pretty good ones.
There have.
I never saw The Wrestler. I'm going to have to look it up.
It's really good. Mickey Rourke was nominated for an Oscar. I say it's really good. And I'm talking a pro wrestler. But it's not, it's a serious movie, and it's sad, but it's a former pro wrestling star trying to have a semblance of a normal life and finding it very difficult.
Good movie. Movie. Good cast, too. Good cast.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Marissa Tomei's in it, and she's very good. And it's I just resonated with me for some reason.
We were telling everybody, please go home and watch some clips of Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira on The Ed Sullivan Show. Do that today. That'll make you feel better in this age of COVID-19 before you put your head in the pillow tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Stiller lived to be 92, and I'm very glad about that, because that was a guy who had some of his biggest success late in life. And, you know, funny is funny is funny, and that guy was on two hit shows late in his life, Seinfeld and King of Queens, and stole the scene, you know, every time he was on the screen. He just, you know, he made you laugh.
Yep.
Just a brilliant guy and so funny. And his scene with George Steinbrenner, the post George Steinbrenner, when they think that George Costanza is dead, but all Jerry Stiller's character, Frank Costanza, can say to Steinbrenner is, why did you trade Jay Buhner?
He had a rocket for an arm. Yeah, he was a genius. He was a genius, no doubt. All right, we'll look forward to the Dan McCarney piece, Mike, and everything else. And keep up the great work down at Gazette, and we'll keep reading things at thegazette.com. And thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Well, it broke up my day, and I made me feel better, so thanks.
Thank you. All right. We'll take a break, come back, have more for you on Gym Class after this right here on KGYM. We will have our conversation with Mike Halas up for you on our podcast here in just a little bit. Again, 1600 AM down for maintenance right now. Please continue to listen to 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, the Jim OT, 107.5, and, of course, 106.3 in Iowa City. Going to have baseball talk coming up tomorrow. A lot of baseball talk, Mark. We're going to try to line up a special guest, and if not, we're just going to kick it around with people as far as what direction Major League Baseball can take. Some owners now talking about an 82-game-ish season. That might start on July 1st. Others are talking something different. Are we going to have fans? Are we not going to have fans? What's it going to look like? We'll talk with that with the people tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we'll know more about the specific proposal and the players' union's response to it. So look forward to that tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.